Good afternoon. Good to be here. Before services, Penny and I went out to the A-Day's house, Joanna and Johnny, and I anointed Joanna. Her back has been giving her quite a bit of problems. It's hard for her to be up at all. She can sit in a chair and so forth, but to get up and get around, it's really very hard. So we went out there today, so I'm sure they'd appreciate our prayers on that. And it's nice. I'm glad we have air conditioning here. You know, where I work, I do a number of different things, but one of my jobs occasionally is I'm what they call the backup courier. Now, what that means is I drive around Decatur, Hartselle, Priceville, and all around there, taking things and picking up things. And it just so happened that I was the courier this past week and next week when it was 98 degrees, 99 degrees. So trust me when I say I'm glad we have air conditioning here because, man, it was hot. I know you don't care, but I do. Trust me, I really care. It was unique, to say the least. All right, I was looking at Penny's notebook because she's heard me speak so many times. I think she's like, oh, he's speaking, not him again. I looked at her notebook, and the last sermon I gave, it had the title, and there were no notes, zero notes. I'm thinking, was it that bad? Just zero notes. I thought, why even bother putting my name in the title? Just move on to the next one. Anyway, over the year, let me turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. You probably won't see a lot of notes today either from her, although she might do that just to make you think she's listening. But Matthew 24, now you know this scripture very well, and it's Christ talking quite a bit about prophecy here. But in verse 42, I've heard this verse read so many times. Verse 42 of Matthew 24 says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." So that's been a scripture that I've always been thought about a lot. And of course, we've taught that a lot, and it's 100% correct. So in no way am I trying to downplay that. But, of course, we watch world news, we watch what's going on, and that's very important. And as you look around at what's going on in the world today, sometimes you're almost flabbergasted as to what's happening, you know, how quick things are happening. Now, there's another scripture over in Ezekiel that's similar, Ezekiel 33. That someone at work asked me, I think it was Thursday, "What am I doing anything over the weekend? Like, I'm doing anything on Father's Day?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going to Birmingham." He doesn't know that's because we're going to church there. I'm speaking in Birmingham, but I figured he doesn't really need to know all the details. But anyway, in Ezekiel 33, verse 7, again, similar. Ezekiel 33:7, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." Again, watching. Very important. In no way am I downplaying this. But there's also quite a few scriptures, many, many scriptures talking about listening. And if you want a title for my sermon, it's Listening to God. There are many, many scriptures talking about listening to God. Now, what does that mean? Well, listening. I remember, I may have told this, I don't know, but over the years, when I graduated from college years ago, University of Tennessee, I was in the period of time where the draft was enforced, and I had to go take a physical. And I was living in New Orleans, and so I got called in for a physical downtown on Canal Street in New Orleans, and there's a lot of others in there too. Now, when I was a kid, I had problems with my hearing. I'd have earaches and my ear would drain and so forth, and for the most part, I grew out of that later. But I had some hearing issues, so one thing, I didn't want to go into the service. I wasn't attending church then. It was just about the time I was starting to attend church, but I didn't really want to go to war or fight. I didn't want to go into the service, but you know, I didn't really have a whole choice about this physical they sent me to. So I went in there. We were all just kind of going like cattle car, and everybody just going around. The bottom line, they didn't really care a whole lot about what our health was, as long as we weren't, you know, that one guy knew that was way, way, way overweight that I knew, and they failed him. They said, he told me this. I hope he was telling me the truth. He said, you won't be alive soon. Well, it's much longer anyway, so why do we want you? You're so overweight. But it's kind of a mean thing. But hey, that's what he told me. But I had this letter from the doctor about my hearing. Well, you know, that they didn't care. They didn't care. I passed very easily. But when they took the hearing test, even though my hearing wasn't the best, they're like, well, you're okay, hearing. Well, you know, in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, in fact, let's turn to Revelation 2. I just want to read one scripture. I didn't have it in my notes, but I thought, talk about the seven churches of Revelation. You know, you have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. But at the end of each one, like for instance, chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, talks about the church of Ephesus. And in the last verse of each of these churches, we see this, verse 7. He who has an ear, he or she who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he gives encouragement here. If you overcome, you'll be given the tree of life. So he's talking about listening. Now, how do we listen to God? Well, I think the best way to listen is knowing your Bible, reading your Bible, studying your Bible. For instance, how are you going to know? You know, God doesn't talk to us by, you know, a big word. You've seen plenty of cases back there in the Bible where God spoke to Adam and Eve, God spoke to Moses, God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to various and sundry ones, but he doesn't just come out, you don't hear a voice, but God speaks to us by reading the Bible. And that is something that's incredibly important for a Christian to do. I can remember, probably said this before, but I remember once giving a sermon in a congregation not around here, but I talked about how Penny would read the Bible every morning first thing, and I do too, but when she'd wake up in the morning, she'd pray, and then she'd always read the Bible for a certain period of time, and I would say, you know, 15, 20 minutes just to start the day. And at the end of the sermon, there were three or four ladies came up to Penny and said, how do you have time to do that? How do you not have time to read the Bible? If you're not reading the Bible, you're not listening to God. If I'm not reading the Bible, I'm not listening to God. And the Bible is very clear that we are to read and listen to God. Now, over in 2 Timothy, let's look at this. I only have two pages of notes here, but it's very, very small font, so you're not going to get out of this that easy. But 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice what Paul said. I think I'll read verse 13. Paul, speaking to Timothy, and this was the last letter Paul wrote right before Paul died, was martyred. Verse 13, he told Timothy, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. So if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not concentrating on what the Bible says, look at the world today. How many sound words are they? How many people, all these ideas, some many of which don't make any sense at all. And yet, the Bible has the truth, sound words. Do we know every little nuance Now, there'll be things that God will reveal to us when he returns. But some people, all they seem to want to do is concentrate on prophecy, of which oftentimes they get way off base and they come up with these ideas that they're very, very definite about that, quite frankly, are not sound words. They're not sound words. And the Bible says clearly here, hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me. Paul said he gave Timothy sound words. Well, these same words are for you and I here today. So if these words were sound for Timothy, they're sound for you, and they're sound for me. So hold fast to that, he said, that you heard from him, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So basically, Paul is telling them he taught sound words. Now, Paul, people can twist Paul around and say a lot of things Paul didn't say. But Paul never said we don't keep God's laws. No, we don't keep some of the sacrifice, the animal, you know, there's a lot of that that was overdone when Christ came and died. But Paul never said you don't keep God's laws. Like, why would we not keep the Ten Commandments or other, you know, very important things that Paul said to do and God said to do throughout the Bible? And Paul was telling Timothy, don't stray from the truth. Sound words. 2 Timothy 3, same letter. Paul again, speaking to Timothy, said verse 14 to 17, but as for you, continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of. The Bible does not contradict itself. If God said the Sabbath, for instance, the fourth commandment was a holy time, it's still a holy time. And the holy days, like we'll keep Pentecost tomorrow. Well, it's very clear if you look, for instance, in Acts. Acts talks about various holy days that they kept. So why, after Christ had been crucified and resurrected, and the New Testament church is keeping the holy days, why would they have been done away with? Because they weren't. In fact, I could turn, and I won't, but I could turn to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 5, where it says, keep the feast, Pentecost, and the days of unleavened bread is talking about it clearly. So the Bible doesn't do away with God's laws, God's truth. But Paul, again, verse 14, continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Timothy learned them from Paul. We are learning them through various New Testament and Old Testament authors, are we not? And that from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. So Timothy had been taught by his for years, which are able, what do the Holy Scriptures do? They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says something very clear. Now, back when he wrote this, the New Testament wasn't, you know, canonized. They weren't, all the books were not together this early. It took a while, but they were still considered inspired word of God, and they were. But when Paul, what Timothy's about to say, or Paul's about to say here, is talking about the Old Testament. You know, you see these Bibles sometimes, it just has the New Testament and Psalms. Like, what about the rest of the Old Testament? It wasn't done away, because notice what it says here. He's talking about the Old Testament as we have it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means every book in the Bible. And all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. That's where we learn our doctrines, from the Bible. That's why we don't believe there is a Trinity, because that's not in the Bible. There's God the Father and God the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit, which is God's power. It's not like a three, you know, no, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It's profitable for doctrine. The Bible's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's what the Bible is there for. And how do we listen to God? By reading, learning the Bible. that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, when I or when you read a book, for instance, whether it be a fiction or nonfiction, when you read a book or watch a movie, you follow along with the story flow, do you not? Made up or real, fiction or nonfiction. But when you read the Bible, it's different, because when you read the Bible, it's God's actual words that we're reading, the words that God inspired these men to write. The Bible has accounts of law, of wisdom, of history, of prophecy. It even has accounts of some of God's conversations with people, like I said earlier, Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham. And the New Testament, you look at the four Gospels, it's a record of Jesus Christ speaking and teaching. I've had people ask me, where do I start? Well, just start in Genesis 1 and read through, because I know people that have never read through the entire Bible, yet they go to church. So why would you want to come to church? Why would you want to be a part of Church of God and never have even read? Even if you don't, why would you not want to read the whole thing through? I met a man at the feast one year that had read through the Bible 60-some-odd times from beginning to end. Now, he's no longer alive, but he knew his Bible. Now, there are different ways to read. I'm not saying that I read from beginning to end from times, but I like to read different commentaries, ones that I trust, basically, you know, are not these liberal way out will tell you that God, you don't need to keep God's laws, but there's all types of ways, but the Bible is a record. Now, in reading Scripture, I've said it before, I'll say it again, you and I are listening to God's words written down that God inspired. Now, let's turn to Proverbs. Let's spend a little time in Proverbs here on this subject, because I think it's really important that we know. It's very important. I can't say this enough. I and you need to read your Bible. And to say you don't have time is just not a good excuse. Now, you know, I'm not putting a time frame or how many minutes a day or whatever the case may be, but, you know, you can read through the entire Bible easy in a year, even by not reading that much each day. So just remember, it's very, very important to read the Bible. And to say, well, I don't like those ladies told Penny, well, how do you have time to do that? I just thought that was just bizarre. Proverbs 1, that's written by Solomon, who had all this wisdom, but yet he didn't act very wise at times, did he? But God gave him the wisdom. But note, what is the structure of Proverbs? Why are Proverbs important? The Proverb, verse 1 of chapter 1, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So right here it's saying Solomon wrote much of Proverbs. Now, it wasn't all written by Solomon, but much of it is. What is the purpose of Proverbs? Because I know oftentimes, you know, my children, when I'd have these, a lot of times on Bible study on Friday nights when they were growing up, and they would complain about, well, you know, why do we have to always be in Proverbs? Well, I could found some other parts of the Bible that may not have been quite as interesting to them, but there's so much interesting information. Here's the purpose of Proverbs: to know wisdom and instruction. So right off the bat, Proverbs is written for you and me to help us know wisdom and help us know instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So, you know, I don't always do the wisest things. I'm not a fount of wisdom always, and I'm sure you aren't either. But this is how you learn understanding. This is how you learn wisdom. This is how you learn instruction. Continuing to receive the instruction of wisdom. That's the part of Proverbs. Justice, judgment, equity. If you go to trial, for instance, are you sure you're going to be treated fairly? Do you know every time? I had a friend that worked at Erlanger Hospital, and he got called in to jury duty once. And it's amazing to me how many those that go case will plead not guilty when they're obviously guilty. And in this particular case, he said they had a young guy, that had stolen cases of beer out of the 7-Eleven. They had him on video taking the cases of beer, putting in his van, driving off, and he got arrested, and he pleaded not guilty. Said he didn't do it. And I asked my friend, I said, how long did it take the jury to decide that? And he said, about 10 minutes. Because he was clearly guilty. Now, oftentimes, though, do you know you're going to have a fair judge? You know you're going to have a fair jury? Only God is totally fair, is he not? Justice, judgment, equity. That's what Proverbs and the entire Bible can teach us. To give prudence to the simple. To give prudence to the simple. If you don't know something, you're simple in that particular way. But as you learn things, you're not to be, and I'm not to be simple anymore. You're to understand it. And that's what the Bible is. To give the young man or woman knowledge and discretion. A wise man, and again, it's a wise person, a wise will hear and increase learning. I never really watched Jeopardy. I can't remember the last time I ever watched Jeopardy, but I remember when I would watch it every now and then. You know, they'd have all these questions. I wouldn't have a clue what they're, you know, I wouldn't even know what's going on. But whenever they would have a question on the Bible, I always thought, well, this is easy. And yet I would find they would tend to be the hardest ones for them because they didn't know their Bible. And they could ask a simple question about the Bible, and they were just dumbfounded. And I remember thinking, man, I'd love to go on Jeopardy and just have Bible questions, but I'd probably freeze and mess up on that. But, you know, when you get all nervous. I remember once, I was on Family Feud once years ago with family, and I was the one that was, we actually won, and I was the one of the two. I was the second one that had to go up and they'd call up. I think they had five things. You had a certain, they'd tell you something, you would have to answer the question. And the very first question was name someone who works at an airport. And I was like, the guy that flies the plane. I couldn't even think of the name pilot. Yeah, no, they asked me something you cook with. And I said spoon, it had already been said, so I said fork. Beep. Zero. But it was a very humiliating thing. And they asked me, this had nothing to do with these notes here, I don't know why I even thought about this, but they asked one question, name something in a Big Mac besides the burger. It's not that hard, is it? So why did I say French fries? I don't know. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, it was a disaster. In fact, where I worked at the hospital, I was working as a sales rep, and I was at a hospital the next day. And I'm not just making this up. If it was, I'd be lying, wouldn't I? But that's the ninth commandment. There were people laughing about. There was somebody laughing about this guy they saw on Family Feud the night before. Well, that was me, and I'm like, hey, that was me. But I didn't want them to know that was me. You know, that's why I put the sunglasses on. No, I didn't put the sunglasses on. Anyway, I need to move on. Verse 7. Bottom line is, you don't want me in a case like that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is where we begin to get knowledge. The right type of fear, not in... You know, hey, we should have fear. God is the one that can give us eternal life. One of my very best friends, two of my very best friends, Fred and Sue Whitlark. Sue's had cancer several times, and quite frankly, Sue is in very poor shape. And Sue realizes that, she won't be alive that much longer unless God decides to, you know, extend her life. And Penny and I went up to visit Fred and Sue because I was best man in their wedding years ago. And Fred's an elder in the Lexington Church, but it used to be out in Dallas. But Sue told us, she said, you know, and she knew she was sick, and this was several months ago, but she's much sicker now. She said, I've gone this far. I don't want to blow it now. Well, she's not going to blow it because she believes in God and believes in God's law. And when she goes to sleep, just like we all will, unless Christ returns first, our record is written. And if we're standing firm, despite our frailties and despite our mistakes, God will see you through. But yet I don't know what the word is. You know, when you see your life, physical life is not going to last much longer. It's easy to get all disoriented. But if your faith is strong, and I don't know anybody I've ever known, and I can honestly say, I don't know anybody I've ever known that's a better example of a Christian than Sue Whitlark. And so she has nothing to fear, although it's the fear of the unknown, even though you know God will return. But the fear of the Lord. We should be afraid of God in the right way, that only God can give me, you, others, eternal life. And yet mankind doesn't get it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, look at what goes on in our country. Look at what goes on in our, you name it. How much foolish stuff is going on? How much foolishness is going on that is considered wise? That's considered wise. That's one I just thought of, but I probably shouldn't mention it because I don't want to get into politics. Anyway, verse 10. My son or my daughter, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent. Look at verse 20, just dropping down. 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. It's taking wisdom as like it's a voice. It's a person, but it's not. But wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. Her considering wisdom is like a wise woman here. How long, you simple ones? And don't you look at it sometimes? I don't know if I said this or not, but Penny and I were watching TV one night, and I may have said this before, but we're watching TV one night, and you know how if you say something, if you say, oh, we need a new mattress. And suddenly start getting on your phone all these mattress adverts and think, well, how did that happen? Well, we were talking, we were watching something. I think it was a news program, I believe. And I made the comment, I can't stand the FBI. I'm on the very top right of our television. Suddenly something came on that said, FBI surveillance fan number 3. I still don't know what that was. FBI surveillance fan number 3. And it said allow, deny, or close. Well, I closed. And I turned the TV back on. I think that's surveillance. I thought, what in the world is that? I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But yet, I still don't know what surveillance fan number 3 is. There's some stuff going on out there. When we moved from Knoxville to Kingsport Congregation, there was a man who told me when we were moving to Florida that it was going to be bad because he knew that there was going to be some big earthquake and Florida was going to just separate from the United States and we're all going to drown. I thought, well, that's a real nice going away present. But I said, well, you know, Carrie, his name was Carrie. I said, the good news about that, we're going to drown. It's all going to be over, and you're going to be left to fight for all the food. So maybe it's not so bad. Now, it didn't, as you know, Florida's still there. But it's What I'm trying to say is, verse 22, I think I read it. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Scorners delight in scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but yet, on the other hand, there's stuff going on that God knows what it is. So he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Let's look at, I'm just going to drop down to verse 29 to 33. I was going to read all the chapter, but I got sidetracked there. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. Where do we get God's counsel? Right out of the Bible. And look at Solomon. Didn't he fall off the chart? But they didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Remember what we read in 2 Timothy? God's word is for doctrine, it's for reproof, it's for instruction in righteousness. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Do you not think that some of the things that's going on in our country is not going, is it going to end well? Well, yes, it will in the end, because God knows what's going on and God's going to rescue us, mankind, from this wicked system that we got in this world today, where people just lie and lie and lie and lie and just don't really seem to care. Therefore, verse 31, they'll eat the fruit of their own way. They'll be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. When we lived in Texas, when we lived in Dallas, it was the coldest week or so, or maybe over a week, on record. As long as it kept records, one February, I believe it was February, it could have been January. I mean, it got so cold, and there was so much snow and so much ice, you couldn't hardly get out of your house. But Dallas, they were wiser, they thought. They had all these windmills that was going to produce all the electricity. But they didn't think about the fact that it got so cold, they froze. Those windmills stopped turning. Now, we got to the point that they were monitoring how long your lights could be on, how much water you could use, and you know, when it gets that cold, if you don't let the drip of the water, your pipes could freeze. They had all types of things. We had our hot water heater, which for whatever reason was not inside; it was attached to the outside of the house. It froze. We had to get a new hot water heater. Yeah, it's you see how I'm kind of shook up about that, but it was. You don't even want to hear all that. Probably do, but you're not. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. When we do stupid things, it doesn't work out, does it? And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But, here's the bottom line. But whoever listens to me, whoever listens to God, and we learn and listen to God by reading God's word, will dwell safely, will be secure, without fear of evil. Wisdom is here in the Bible. Now, when you or I speak to someone, oftentimes we prepare what we're going to respond to. Like, I'll make a comment and somebody will make a comment back. And, you know, how often, and I'm not good at this, how often if I'm talking to somebody and they begin to give a response, how often am I thinking how I'm going to respond again before I really listen to what they're saying? When you make a comment, when I make a comment and somebody's answering me, shouldn't I just listen and really see what they're saying instead of thinking, well, I wonder what I'm going to say next? I mean, it's crazy. I had a boss. We have interviews. My boss told me once, you know, you got some good points, but you sure don't listen very well. I thought, that's the only thing I remember about that interview. I think the interview was pretty good. I think I got a decent interview. But he said, you don't listen very well. I thought, oh, who are you? But then I thought about it, and he was right. And if you really want to know about it, just ask Penny. Because how many times does she say something and I'll answer it before she's even completely got her thought through? So I do have one fault in life, but among many, many others. But good listening skills includes listening to comprehend, not just listening to respond. Good listening skills includes listening to comprehend. When you read the Bible, listen to comprehend. Don't just see how fast you can get through chapter whatever you're reading. Proverbs 18:13, I'm not going to turn there, I'm just going to quote it, you know it. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame. Look at our politicians. They don't care what the other side says. They don't care in many cases. They're just so determined to get their point across, their way, whatever they think is right. Now let's notice about Jesus Christ, for instance, over in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is, you know, I wish, you know, a lot of things you wish, but don't you wish sometimes the Bible had more information and stories about Jesus Christ when he was a young child and, you know, a teenager and all that? You know, it doesn't say much at all about it. But here is one case where it does, over in Luke 2. And you'll remember this when we read it. His parents, he was 12 years old at this time. So Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, young boy, his parents went up to Jerusalem every year to the Feast of the Passover. So they would go to the Feast of Passover. So somehow we're supposed to think now that, well, you know, God didn't want the Passover. Well, they went every year. Oh, no, but he died and he got rid of all those holy days. Well, where does it say that? Nowhere. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they'd finished the days. Now, this is the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. They basically call it the Passover days. It's that period of time. When they'd finished the days, not day, but days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother didn't know it because they were with a lot of other relatives. They just figured he was with the rest of the relatives. Supposing him to have been with the company, and they went a day's journey, and they sought him among the relatives and acquaintances, but they didn't find him. And they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So they were panicking, I'm sure. Where is our child? Now, verse 46. It was like 3 days before they found him. They were really panicking, I'm sure. They found him in the temple. What was he doing? He was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening. He was listening at 12 years old. So don't tell me that a 12-year-old cannot understand concepts in the Bible. Don't tell me a teenager does not have the capacity to learn about the Bible. Now, as we grow older, we build on things, but he was 12 years old. Well, they said, well, that was Jesus. No, yeah, it was. But you can learn. After it was 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting in the midst of the teachers. He was listening to them. And he was asking them questions. He was not just saying, here it is, guys. Here's, I know everything. Even though he was God in the flesh, the Word, he was listening and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When they would ask him a question, he knew his Bible, the Old Testament at that time. He knew what he was talking about. And when they saw him, when the parents saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, son, why have you done this to us? He had been missing for at least 3 days. Of course they were upset. "Look, your father and I, we've sought you anxiously." And what did Jesus say? "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" That wasn't a rebellious 12-year-old or any age. He was listening and learning about and asking questions and answering about God's truth. But they didn't understand what he said this when he spoke to them. When we read our Bibles, if I and you really want to understand, ask questions and jot questions down and you know, find the answers, because sometimes you'll read something and like, well, I wonder where that comes from. You know, there are ways. Get a harmony of the Gospels or get a concordance. You can learn a lot of stuff from that. Because if I'm not asking questions as I read it, are you really comprehending? And the Bible is the only book you can read it over and over and over again. Every time you read it, you will learn new things and you'll have more questions to learn from. Proverbs 15. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Pours forth evil. Look over at Job for a moment. Let's stay over in Proverbs. Proverbs 2. We'll skip that. Spent too much time on Family Feud. But over in Proverbs 2, I have a goal to never go over an hour. And it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen. I'm not going over an hour. Relax. What I meant. Proverbs 2, notice, my son or my daughter, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, what we all want, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, wanting to understand. Do you understand everything that's going on in our society, our world? Some of it makes no sense, does it? It's because they don't follow God's way in so many cases, and it's just all total confusion out there. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, ask God for wisdom. Now, I could turn to James 1, and it says, if you want wisdom, ask God for it. Pray for wisdom. It says clearly in James chapter 1, if I want wisdom, ask God for it. If you seek her as silver, if you search for her as for hidden treasures, then you understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the right type of awe for God, knowing God created you, knowing God gave you your mind to think, knowing God will give you eternal life. And you'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is shield for those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path, if we treasure God's commands. Now, take a few minutes here. Let's turn to Matthew 13. begin to head toward a bit of conclusion. Now in Matthew 13, I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 first. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes came to him. They were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So here he is in a boat, and all the people on the shore, and he's preaching, teaching them. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, and first off he went and told about the sower, the parable of the sower. Then he explained about the parable of the sower. He talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares, explained that. Parable of the mustard seed, parable of the leaven, parable of various things, hidden treasure, pearl of great price, on and on. He spoke to them in parables. Now, what was the point of the parables? What was the point of the parables? Well, look at verse 10 of the same chapter. The disciples, not just all the just the people that were just there sightseeing somewhat, the disciples came and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. But to them, it's not been given." Didn't mean they were horrible people. It wasn't their time yet. But the disciples, certain ones that God was dealing with, they were to learn now, just like we are. If you know God's, learning God's truth, he's opening your eyes and my eyes now. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. And whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they don't see." Even though it's out there, they don't get it. "And hearing, they don't hear. And they don't understand." Well, you read this, you think, well, this makes sense, but why don't they understand it? They didn't have time to really listen to Jesus. And people don't have time to study the Bible in their minds when they could learn so much from it, could they not? Dropping down to verse 34. "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes." Remember, all these people, not just the disciples, the multitudes in parable. "And not without a parable, he didn't speak to them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables." So he's quoting from the Old Testament. "I'll utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Mankind in general doesn't understand, even many, most, that may call themselves Christians. But just to call yourself a Christian does not mean you understand. But how do you learn? By listening, reading from God. And in verse 51, then notice, 51, Jesus said, talking to his disciples here, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Then he said, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." He was teaching them. But how did it go across for most of those he was teaching? Well, let's look at the next few verses. "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there." But how did it work? Notice, "And when he had come to his own country," where he lived, "when he came to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues. And they were astonished at what he was saying." And this is not a compliment about him. They said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" Are they saying, "Oh man, he's so smart, we love him"? No, read on. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? This is Joseph's son. Who does he think he is what they were saying. "Isn't his mother called Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get these things? Were they praising him? No. Look, and they were offended at him. They were offended that he was telling them the truth because they didn't get it. It wasn't their time yet. And some of it was maybe their time, they weren't willing to listen. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there. Why? Because they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. So God is really speaking initially to those he's calling. And if he's not speaking to those he's not calling, that's an act of mercy. Because once you know something, once you can clearly see something, you are responsible. So if things are being said that they don't understand, they don't get, well, they don't know it. But when I or you or anyone really understands and inculcates it in their mind and in their life, then they're responsible. So over the years, we have been talking about watching, and all this is right. No way am I trying to discount that. We focus on watching what's going on and being ready. But just as important is focusing on listening, reading, understanding what God is telling us. Where none of us are anywhere close to perfection. None of us are finished products. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We all have situations. But God wants you, God wants me to listen to him. And the best way we can listen to God is by reading the Bible. Amos chapter 8. Two more scriptures and I'll close. Amos chapter 8. Right after Joel, page 1021. Actually, no, it's page 1027. That didn't help, did it? This is my Bible. Notice what prophet Amos said. Behold, verse 11, Amos 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I'll send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, not a famine of water, although there will be those famines too. But he's talking about something else here. But a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. There'll be a time. And how many people can hear this? But there'll be a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea. They shall from north to east, they'll seek, they shall run to and fro, what? Seeking the word of the Lord. And they won't find it. And the reason they won't find it, if God is calling them, is they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear what God was telling them. And we don't want that to be us. Final scripture, Revelation 22. We're going to be keeping one of God's holy days tomorrow, the Feast of Tabernacles. Mankind would kind of laugh at that in many cases. Well, what do you do that? It's Father's Day. And it is Father's Day. But it's also the Feast of Pentecost. Just happened to work out that way. Revelation 22, end of the Bible, verse 6 and 7. Then he said to me, the angel said to John, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So some of these things that we've seen in Revelation, if we went there, some have already happened, some will be happening later. But as God said, a day to God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And sure, we wish he would come quicker, but God knows the right time to send Christ back. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Meaning not only Revelation, but I think clearly the entire Bible. Verse 10 and 11. But he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So again, all these nuances about what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. God will show it. God will show it. As it happens, it'll be a lot clearer than when we don't see, as you see the things happening. God, and there are things happening, don't get me wrong. But yet, just, I would say concentrate. I need to concentrate on being a Christian. And God will show the prophecies as they come forth. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, time's just going to go on. Some of these people in the world, they're not going to change now, but they will at the proper time. But he who is righteous, let him or her be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him or her be holy still. What it's saying is stand fast, strive to be what God wants us to be. We're not finished products. We're not great. But yet, God loves all mankind. Jesus Christ died for mankind. But God loves those who he's revealed the truth now, and he wants us to stay the course. So yes, we need to be watching. But also, you and I need to be listening to God.